Well, now, in 1996, you actually made the jump to video games. Well, what can you tell me about your score to the game Disruptor?
Yes, it was my first video game score, actually. Ted Price, who owns Insomniac Games, who I've done a number of games for now, contacted me back in 96 to score Disruptor, and I thought it was a really interesting concept to, you know, at the time, the what pretty much determined how it was scored was by having these more loopy computer sounds that were often just a limitation of the technology, mm-hmm. like the old Ataris and Pac-Man game consoles and whatnot. Ted wanted to try to hip things up a little bit and give it a slightly better sound. So I thought that it was interesting to come up with a film score that would be interactive, where the player obviously determines whether he makes a right and meets the enemies or whether he makes a left and escapes, would change the music. And so there was an interesting challenge in trying to write a score that could go in many directions based on the conditions that the player finds himself in. And we ended up working extensively with the designers and the programmers on a matrix of conditional scoring, where the conditions were determined by certain environmental choices the player was making and how many enemies, let's say, would face him, you know, or whether the enemy was close or far. So we ended up, I ended up giving them something like 300 different cues and had to pick keys so that they would match and crossfade, and we would figure out little transitional pieces. And so it was a very interesting mind game at the time of mm-hmm. writing a lot of very short pieces. Some of the cues were as short as 2 seconds and would help as hinges in a way. There would be transitional cues between one set of conditions. It's still one of my favorite things to do is to score games, mm-hmm. mainly because of that kind of mind game. It's interesting exercise.
Well, now, how does your score to Disruptor compare to, say, the 2002 score to Ratchet and Clank?
Or the 2003 or 2004.
Oh, yeah, or the other many Ratchet and Clank games.
Ratchet is an ongoing franchise. I just finished the latest one, actually. Yes, it's a lot of fun. Well, the gaming technology has evolved so much over the last few years that the best part of it is that Sony keeps cranking out these incredible consoles that do more and more and beefier and beefier and allow the designers to put these demands on us, the creatives. So it's great. The latest games look amazing, sound amazing. We now have 5.1 surround. We have much quicker access to data and information, which allows limited amount of possibilities and creativity. Now on a purely creative answer, Ratchet is not a scored game. It's more of a loopy game.
Okay.
The choice that Ted and I made at the beginning of the first Ratchet series to not necessarily score Ratchet's actions changed necessarily whether Ratchet has one enemy or no.
Well, now working on a score like a video game score, what do you find? I mean, other than writing 300 different cues for that one game?
Oh, that was the first one. Well,
that was the first one, but I mean, that's like it's quite a few. I mean, how does that compare to working on a TV project or a movie project?
I think that each of these mediums has a very unique set of constraints and limitations as well as creative possibilities they open up. Probably the most unique factor in a video game on the audience standpoint is that an audience on average will spend 20 to 40 hours playing a game, depending on whether they're a really good, skilled player or whether they are not. When composing for a video game, one has to take that into consideration that though, let's say on a film, if you watch, even the most loving audience will not watch a film more than twice in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
They may only hear your cue once or twice at the most. So there are certain things that I'm trying not to do. There are certain restrictions in the use of thematic motifs. If you put a very strong, defined melody in a game cue on a difficult level, and it's a two-minute loop, but every 2 minutes, that piece will repeat and add to the boredom of being stuck in that environment. Maybe the amount of time spent is probably what I would say the most difficult to deal with. the longest projects I've written for are video games. We try to help with the fact that a player will spend that many hours.
Right. Well, now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. However, do you use silence as a composing tool?
Silence is an incredible tool. I think a couple of years ago, I think it was about 3-4 years ago, there was an incredible article by Jack Perlman where he was asked at the end of his life, you know, he played all the greatest concertos 10 times over, he'd recorded all of them, and they asked him, you know, what's your next challenge, you know, what are you tackling next? And I loved his answer. He said, you know, I'm learning how to play silence. And I think it is absolutely as important as the sounds we make. I've often said that one of the fundamental factors in writing film score is good spotting, and spotting is the art of choosing where and when music will play. Very powerful effect as he rounds the seventh corner. So spotting is a really important thing for me, and I spend a lot of time picking out just the perfect start time to cues, when not to put music, and I do believe that silence is a very important tool in the art of making or being part of a cohesive soundtrack to a film, along with the sound effects.
So how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
I don't know, frankly. I mean, scoring is an extremely immersive art for me. I lose myself in each project as much as I can, and as I said, I try to find a really unique set of colors. I obviously hope that my music has followed my own personal growth over the last, you know, 20-some years. Maybe my ideas today are slightly more focused than when I was a 17-year-old teenager scoring my first movie for Roger Corman. I would like to think that, I do think that I continue trying to stay fresh. I experiment a lot with electronics, new world instruments. My house is more of an, you know, instrument museum than a recording studio. I have over 200 instruments I've collected over the years, so each of my score follows my personal growth as well as what I feel is the demand of that particular film. But main difference, maybe more focused, clearer in my ideas, a little less confused than I might have been 20 years ago.
Okay. Well, what does the future hold for you?
Hopefully many more films. I always look forward to new associations of directors. I am working on more video games. I have a video game right now called Ratchet and Clank. I'm about to score a beautiful documentary on an Iranian, not orphanage, but yeah, actually it's an orphanage in Tehran for young girls that a Persian director contacted me to do. My wife is a singer who goes by the name of Renfei, and she and I have a band, so we are about to release her second album and take it out on tour and promote it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm not scoring movies or video games, I put on a red guitar on my neck and I go play rock and roll.
Well, I really appreciate the time that you've given me today.
You're most welcome.
And hope that your career continues on an incredible path that has been going so far.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you as well.